realize that I am worthy. And honestly, I am a miracle to be able to get through in the amount of time that I did to get through cancer. And
welcome to the Leveling Up podcast. Again, wanted to welcome you. We've got Allison Pizook, so grateful, tuning in from Canada to share a little bit how she has gone from the classroom to cash flow. And it's a life after school project, which I think is really fun. We're going to have a great conversation today. Do our very best to add so much value to you and your business. So Allison, tell us a little bit about your background. I know you're a teacher just like me, so we have that in common. But man, I'm so excited to hear a little bit more about your background.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm super grateful to be here. And thanks so much for organizing this incredible podcast. You've had some fantastic guests on already, and I'm honored to be here. Yeah. So essentially, as you've mentioned, I am from Canada. Oops, now I'm having a phone call coming in. Anyway, I am from Canada. I started teaching 27 years, heck, I don't know, before I retired. And so I was a high school math teacher and absolutely love helping students and helping them see through the mystique of math is impossible, and really, really enjoyed doing that and reaching out to those students who perhaps have been forgotten. And as time went on, as quite often it does when you get wiser, I started noticing that I was working a lot harder than the students. And there's so much, as I'm sure you've experienced, so much is being downloaded onto teachers. And the system, in my opinion, is broken. And I was struggling to try and find a solution to it. Then COVID hit. And so at that point, I took a pause on teaching and entered into real estate full time. And from there, that's opened up a whole new world of cash flow and of helping people and problem solving and so many things. So that's kind of what brought us together as well as real estate.
Yeah, real estate investing, it has brought us together in lots of different ways. So one of the things I think is so unique about your experience is you were able to see whoever it was that you're helping, when you can unlock that aha for them, whether they had this, oh, I can never do math mentality or not, like when you give them that aha moment, it's so rewarding as a teacher. It's one of my favorite things is to give someone
100%.
That, what? I had no idea. So how have you been able to find that in business?
That's a great question. That is, honestly, it is helping people that are in the employee world and saying, oh, I could never be a real estate investor. I could never get that. And I could never be in your position. And being able to reach out to them where they are and recognizing what their goals are and saying, you know, it is possible. It just comes around to relationships and education and being able to pull out of that matrix, as we say.
Yeah, I love that. And one of the things I think is really key here is you said helping people. And when we are willing to help somebody, we have to take them wherever they're at and ask them, hey, what do you want to do? What are you actually looking to accomplish? And if we can help them get one step closer, we help enough people do that. And eventually we can have anything that we want.
That's right.
It's so, so key. And now, as a teacher, I'm sure there are some principles that you learned as a teacher that have direct connection to business. What are one or two of those little principles that you're like, man, this is something that I learned as a teacher that you can absolutely use in business?
Actually, it is what I learned as a teacher, but I didn't understand the depth of it until I became an entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. And that would be in problem solving. We all know when we were in school, we'd get homework assignments and the beginning parts were kind of like kill and skill or skill and drill or whatever you want to call it. And then you'd get to those harder questions that are problem solving. And it's always, ugh, what is the point of doing this? It's impossible. I can't figure it out. And to be quite honest, I was of the same opinion when I was a student and when I was going through, and also when I was choosing some of the questions to assign. However, that premise of there is a solution, it is figure outable. It's just perhaps you need to look at it from a different perspective. And that key has really strengthened with me as I've entered into the entrepreneurial world. Because to be quite honest, real estate is, as an investor, is easy when the market is good. But when the market changes, or when there are problems that you face, be it with partners, be it with banks or realtors or whatever the situation might be, it's easy to take it personally, when in actual fact, there is a solution to it. You just have to look at it from another way around, or reach out to someone who's got experience that can help you see another perspective.
I love that. When you're talking to a coach or a mentor, or you talk to someone that has already gone down that path a little ways, and you ask them, hey, what am I missing? Because if you have that belief, like, I know that this is figure outable. I love the way you said that. That was so good. You know, it's figure outable. Then what am I not seeing? And if we keep our eyes open and we say, how can I solve this, rather than, oh, I can't solve this, we give ourselves permission to look from different perspectives and see all the different elements of the actual problem. And I love this idea as well. When you can clearly articulate the problem, people already assume you know how to solve it. So in business, how have you been able to clearly articulate the problem or the challenge that you're facing?
I think vulnerability and transparency goes a long way with that explanation. For instance, when I'm in Canada, our real estate market here in Canada is a little bit tricky, and trying to cash flow is, I'm just going to say, impossible, like virtually impossible. So I started looking a year or so ago into the States. Let's expand our portfolio into the States. Well, the States compared to Canada has 10 times the population, 10 times the opportunity, and a whole bunch of ways to be able to get into trouble. So being able to articulate that fear of making a mistake into some sort of a tangible question that people can understand and give you an answer to. So for instance, there's 50 states. And each of them have a bazillion counties and cities. So how can I choose the right one? And I'm a recovering how addict. Again, I think that goes back to teaching, where we are supposed to be proactive and find answers to every single potential problem that might be experienced in the classroom before the lesson. So I'm recovering from that, because it's not possible to be able to see every obstacle. So going back to be able to rephrase the question of where do I invest or how do I choose a place, it's more of when asking other investors, when you were first starting, how did you decide where to start? And asking the right question in that context, and a lot of it is coming down, well, my original choice was choosing a landlord-friendly state. And then from there, being able to dive into it farther and farther. And, it's a tricky one.
Yeah, I think making that decision, you never know until you actually fully decide and commit. And if you go down the wrong path for a short time, that actually might help you know, oh, this is the wrong path. I'm going to turn around and go a different way. That's so right. I learned this so much as a theater teacher. There is something called stage fright, and we experience this in business all the time. But when you change that fear into excitement, it feels almost the exact same. But when you trick yourself and you tell yourself, I'm just excited right now, I'm looking forward to what's going to happen, We give ourselves permission to have fun. And just like what it comes down to, if we understand that excitement in business is something that is, it's actually almost contagious, if that makes sense. You show your excitement, you show your enthusiasm, and you're like, man, I can do this. Even if you have no idea, you've never done it before, you don't know anybody else that's done it before yet, you give yourself permission to say, I'm going to be excited about this. So right. I'm curious, Allison, how have you been able to stay excited about business, about real estate, and continue to enjoy the learning process?
As you mentioned, there are so many different opportunities for that fear to seep in, and excitement is critical. And I like the way that you made the analogy with stage fright. I mean, even for people coming on the podcast for the first time, it's going to be kind of scary to be able to see that. But realizing the excitement of, I am blazing my own path. As Brené Brown says, braving the wilderness. Yeah. And yes, I will have obstacles, but I can overcome them. And being excited about that prospect, it is vital. It is key. And I am also blazing the way for other Canadian investors to be able to head into the States. And that fuels me, is I am so about helping other people and pulling them along or guiding them is what excites me. And that to me is the key. I did want to also just go back a little bit when I was talking about the different states and trying to choose them and articulate it. When you have made a decision and you've decided and you're excited about something, and then you start to share it with other people, you have to be careful about how much importance you're going to be putting on their opinions.
Oh, yeah. So true.
And for instance, when we were trying to decide on states, it was, okay, well, I'm going to choose such and such a state. And then people started chirping. Oh, I wouldn't go there. Oh, there's a lot of crime in this state. Oh, and it's taken me a little while to sift through it and realize that it's, you have to kind of weigh in and see, are they looking for attention by saying that? Or what is their intention? Are they coming from a place of experience and their intention is what's best for me? And so it's being excited, receiving information, filtering through it, and then moving forward on my own path.
And that's you taking control of your destiny rather than having all the myriad of other opinions in the world say, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do this, or you shouldn't do this. And you're like, oh, I don't want to get in this whole should, shouldn't thing. I'm going to say, this is what I'm doing, because a good decision made at the right time is better than the best decision made too late. That's one of my favorite expressions. My mission president taught me that. And it comes down to this as well. When you were bringing up, we can't plan for every single obstacle necessarily, or even if we thought we had, there's certain obstacles we don't plan for. As an actor, I learned this because I used to teach acting. I loved the theater side of things. I can't take that out of my myself, but the obstacle is the way. You have this challenge. And when you figure out the obstacle is the way, I need to figure out around it, through it, try different tactics. The obstacle makes it interesting because there's a challenge. If you don't have a challenge, there's no story. If you don't have a conflict, there's no story. And part of us enjoying this mess that becomes our message is recognizing that whatever element of the story we're in, there is going to be a way that we can get out. We just have to keep that belief, like you brought up earlier. Is it okay if I ask you a quick question that I know people may be asking, like, hey, wait a second, she had long hair in the picture, but she doesn't have it now. Can you talk to us a little bit about some of the challenges you've been able to experience and how you've been able to overcome them? Because all of us come up with some difficult things. And I think you are such a rock star in that respect of keeping belief and building faith in yourself and in your health. So let's talk about that for a minute.
Absolutely. So in a nutshell, left teaching and then started doing my real estate. And here I've had a wholesaling company. I've had an Airbnb company. We've had a flipping, like all going at the same time, flipping company with contractors, and life is fantastic. until it wasn't when the market changed. And that added a lot of stress when, you know, we owed a lot of money and to hard money lenders. And how are we going to do this without going bankrupt, as many people have faced in this past year or so? So this is my take on where things have come from, and I'm going to get there. But that stress, after 27 years of my immune system being hammered by students and viruses and that sort of thing, and the stress of teaching as well, my body said, no, 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 I'm tired of trying to hint that you need to slow down. So I'm going to throw a huge challenge in your way. And that came in the form of ovarian cancer. So it was a long road to even be diagnosed, but it's just a little less than a year ago now. And I was diagnosed, wasn't staged, but my research is either stage 3 or stage 4 ovarian. And for me, it was, okay, sure, let's move on. And it wasn't life altering. It wasn't that I was facing mortality and feeling sorry for myself. It was, this is figure outable. Let me figure out a way to make this work. I'm not going to just take the advice of all of the doctors and do exactly what they say. I need to understand, what is cancer? How can I work with my body to fix it? Because if my body created it, part of me is believing it can fix it too. So that took me on a really deep dive into what is cancer. Sorry to tell everybody, but every single person has cancer cells. They are laying there dormant. They are just waiting for you to become overly stressed, ignoring your body, feeding it the wrong fuel. And they will say, hey, this is my opportunity. I'm going to bring myself up to the forefront. So like I say, it took me on a deep dive, major dietary changes. So dropped all sugar. Sugar is poison, guys. Don't do sugar. No refined grains and no dairy. Okay, dairy, I kind of cheat a little with cheese, because who can give up cheese? It's amazing. but those ones stopped altogether, which really, really did help. And also dove into fasting. And through all of this, and because our mutual friend, Greg Kimball, as he says, the genius is in the and. Mm. And also with the traditional doctor's medicine. So did chemo, had surgery. January 1st, beautiful start to the year, I received the letter saying that there's no evidence of disease. So that is incredible. It is fantastic. The best news to start 2024. I'm still on maintenance. But the other piece that's throughout that as well is spirituality and me realizing that I am not in control. Like, I'm not in control. I've always been a bit of a control freak. Not anymore. It's a matter of surrendering and asking for help. So I am still early in the journey and recognizing that there's more out there, that someone does have my back. I am writing a book and I will be going into greater detail on this. But yeah, in a nutshell, that's why my hair did fall out with the first chemo. There are ways to stop that. And I've found all sorts of different ways to be able to help avoid the scary thing of losing your hair.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being vulnerable and sharing that. I feel more connected to you because I can't remember if I told you, but my mom's going through a cancer situation as well. She beat breast cancer a couple of years ago, and it's starting to come back through bone cancer and lung cancer. No. And it's a scary time. All of us at some point are going to have a family member or ourselves go through something like this. And mm-hmm. to be able to keep that faith intact that the Heavenly Father loves us so much that even though we are given sometimes really challenging experiences, they do happen for us. And when we look for the lesson that he's reaching out and saying, here's the lesson, we can find it. Sometimes in the midst of the muck, we don't recognize it. But man, what is one of those lessons that you've been able to learn from going through this hell?
First thing is I honestly don't look at it as going through hell. I look at it as I was given the message and redirection that I needed to make changes and find out what was important in life. It's not the materialistic hunt for money and things. It's nature, it's relationships, it's energy. And it, like you mentioned, it is belief. The one thing that kept me going throughout it is that I am planning my 110th birthday party, which is 56 years from now. So it's more than my life that I've been alive. And I have planned it. I know exactly where it's going to be. I know it takes me back to one of my first pictures of birthday parties when I was a child, and mom made an elephant cake and it had coconut on it. And it was on a picnic table in a park. And that is what I'm going to be replicating. And I kept reaching out to people and saying, put it in your calendar, July 14th. I can't remember the year right now, but 56 years from now, and put it in your calendar and I will be there. So it's having something that you can jump forward into, the meditation, the reaching out to people and having them send you their positive healing energies. And there's so much that I could go into that, you know, has so many pieces between health and business, and belief is a big part of it. You know, just knowing, having that inner knowing that I will be there, having that knowing that, and this did come true as well, is that on the CT scan that I had to have before surgery, that they will not find anything. And I would visualize it. I would feel the emotion. And it didn't quite work out the same as I was hoping, that the surgeon would say, oh, look, there's nothing there. We don't have to do surgery. It was, oh, this is great. We can't see anything. The surgery will be more successful. So still going through with the surgery and what have you to make sure that everything was gone. But it's just visualizing and manifesting your future.
Yeah. And I think of, there was a general conference talk a few years ago by a great leader. He brought up this point that sometimes we don't have the blessing of being able to have that healing. And all of us have gone through this as well. Maybe we've lost a loved one, lost a friend, and it's still having the faith not to be healed. A lot of us have the faith to be healed, but some of us don't put it in the Lord's hand and say, you know what? I also have the faith that this is in your hands and you know better than me. Because what if losing someone brought you closer to your real destiny? Is it okay if I get vulnerable too? I'll share this. Oh man, I don't know if you're going to go here today, but a few years ago, I lost my brother. He took his life. He had a schizophrenia, and it was a really tough disease, really, really hard. And one of the things that came of that, he was one of my heroes, a great musician, amazing, amazing person. But one of the things that came of that was a search for me to find that purpose and to be able to give back and to figure out how do I honor my brother? Because I was hurting. I just felt broken and angry and all these different emotions. Anytime you go through that grieving process, you're like, man, what am I doing wrong? I had this realization a few years ago that because Bradley took his life, it actually brought me to this real estate community. My mother met a lady named Wanda Carrasquillo. They bonded because both of their sons had passed away. I was brought down here to Renatus and had an opportunity to connect with more people that had a vision of the future that included more than just their family. That's something that in the teaching world, it was, yes, my classroom and my students, but it wasn't, how do I help way more people than just my classroom? When I came to Renatus, I saw that there was an increased vision that if I can help someone, I want to. If I can be of more service, I can provide better housing, I want to. And when I saw that this was something that could change lives, and it had changed mine, I was like, I have to do this. And I jumped in with both feet. And because of that experience, going through the education, going through the systems, going through and connecting with this amazing community, I've been able to see that even though that horrible experience of Brad losing his life and dealing with the tragedy, it actually became a beautiful connection. And sometimes we get connected to people in challenging ways. And there's no fault in that broken part, if that makes sense. I talked about this idea of kintsugi, that when you have a broken bowl, instead of throwing it away, you glue it back together with gold. When my brother passed away, it felt like I was broken and I didn't have a way to put myself back together. But surrounding yourself with the right community, the right friends, the people that are walking the same path as you, even if they're coming at slightly different angles, saying, this is where I want to go and help more people, that became a glue for me. And if it's all right with you, I'm going to share this idea of glue. I'm going to record this with Greg a little bit later. I'll give you a sneak peek. But glue, it comes down to these four things. Number one is God is ever present in our life. God's the glue. He's the one that brings us together. L is to lean in, lean on, lean back. Because when you are trying to put things together, you have to put some pressure where those faults are to have that stick. And then the U is to unite, to bring together, to say, whatever it is that you're doing, if you're doing it only as one person, you miss out on a lot of things. But if you are going to unite with others, eventually you bring enough people together and all of us can do way more good than we could by ourselves. And this last idea of the E in glue is to find an example, to find an exemplar, someone that you can lean to or look to and really connect with. And I love this idea of glue because that's what Renatus was for me. That's what TFP is for me now, because the people that you look to when you're hurt, the people that you look to when life has shattered, when you get that your best friend or your mother or yourself have to go through some really challenging things. How do you put this back together? You don't know the how until after it's done. But if you rearrange the how and change it to who, yeah, a lot of times it's that new group of friends that makes all the difference.
100%. So,
thanks for letting me share that. I didn't know we were going to go there today, but I appreciate you letting me share.
And yeah, no, 100%. And on that, I do have to say that the TFP community, they really and truly were the ones that had my back throughout last year. And, you know, even to the point when my hair was falling out, that was actually at one of the Wyoming retreat last year, and my hair was falling out, and everyone stood around me as Linnea cut my hair, and it was just incredible. So I just see the comments. TFP is the final percent. And it's a Facebook group with an amazing relationships, positivity, connections, and you know, it's amazing. It is like the Renatus community, in my opinion, except on steroids, because we're celebrating everyone in every walk of life. It's not just the real estate world. Just going back to helping people, as well as I say, that's what fuels me. That's what my purpose is helping. And even animals as well. I want to end up with a rescue of some sort somewhere. I don't know, but that's in my future. But in terms of helping, it's not necessarily me helping myself as an investor. I mean, yes, obviously I need to look after myself. And it's not specific to helping other investors get involved. Yes, that's important. But it's helping homeowners that are in trouble. It's helping the community by bettering neighborhoods. There's so much helping that can be part of it. So I just wanted to spin that back in there as well.
Oh, I love it. And I think when we truly recognize that it's not just about what we want, it's about what we can give. we all have heartbeats to share with other people, and we want to be selective with who we put our focus on and with. And I'm just super grateful that we got to share a few heartbeats today, Allison.
I appreciate that.
And if I can ask you another question, looking back over your career as a teacher, I'm just curious, if you could give the brand new teacher, Allison, some advice, what would you tell her? What would you say, please just do this and everything would be so much better? What would you tell yourself?
Well, besides, don't go into teaching, go and start your own business. You can impact and help more people. Besides that piece, the actual early teacher, because I loved it. Those students were my kids. I took them all and they were mine. It would be stop being competitive, stop worrying about what other people think of me as a teacher, as what other parents think of me, what other colleagues think of me, but just do my very best to help the people that are in front of me to be able to become best versions of themselves that they could.
I love that. Stop being competitive and being collaborative. I wish someone would have told me that too when I was younger. You know, it's something that I've heard, this little team acronym, over and over and over in different contexts. Together, everyone achieves more. And you think of that combined with the old proverb from Africa: if you want to go far, you go with others, but if you want to go fast, you go alone. I was like, man,
that's right.
If the power's in the and, what if we could actually go fast and far, because everyone in the pack is equipped well. They all have the same purpose. They're all going the same place. I was like, I love it. Or we're in the same vehicle, you know, you think about it.
Yeah, exactly. And the other piece of advice that I think I would give myself and anyone who is in that teaching capacity is that words have power.
Yeah.
And sometimes you may say something without it having any context whatsoever, but to the person receiving it, it can have consequences. And when you mentioned you were a theater teacher, I quickly whipped back to grade 9 when I was taking drama class. Uh-huh. And I was almost 6 feet at age 14. So I was very tall. Anyway, the drama teacher, she had people doing exercises and theater falls and that kind of thing. And when it was my turn, she just said, you know what? You're too tall. Just go sit down and don't bother.
No.
And that stuck with me, with not being good enough. Whereas her intention, now looking back on it with an adult brain, her intention was likely, you know, I'm just thinking of your own self, and you know what, don't worry about it. It's that words do have power, even though that you're well-intentioned, just make sure that it's being received in that same vein.
Wow. You think about it. That's especially when you're young. I think of the words that we say, that's kind of like, if you had a tablet of clay, some words are going to be like hitting that tablet with a hammer, and some may be like barely touching with a pencil. The indent is still there, but for some people, it is so much heavier and it's a deeper impact. Yeah. And now you have to like do some repair work to make sure that tablet goes smooth again.
Yeah.
So yeah, I hope that you can get a reframe on that. You're like, you're not.
Oh,
too-
absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. It's been one of the things that I've worked through and on as I've been working on myself the past year, to realize that I am worthy. And honestly, I am a miracle to be able to get through in the amount of time that I did to get through cancer. And I can't say it's defeated, because, you know, every year your cells revitalize and you become a new person. So give it 2 years before I'll claim that status. But yeah.
I appreciate it so much. Thank you so much for not just sharing your ideas with us, but to really be vulnerable and open up, because sometimes we have conversations that are a little surface level, and I felt like we were able to go really deep today. And
yeah, me too. I appreciate you sharing as well. Thank you. I know it's hard.
So How do people find you online? How do they keep connected with you? Tell us a little bit how people can keep connected, and maybe what the if you have the title of your book or the idea, what is it that they can look forward to?
Yeah, so I should actually change my name in here, but it's Allison Pazuk, so AllisonPazuk, at gmail.com is my email. My online persona is just my name. So you can Google me that way. I'm friends with you on Facebook, so they can find me through Absolutely. You. Sorry, what else was it you were asking? Oh, the book.
Your book. Yeah. Tell us about that.
Yeah. So it is about blazing your own path as you're faced with a diagnosis of cancer or any other illness, to be quite honest. And I'm exploring the traditional versus the holistic paramedical worlds and sharing my journey, because of course I don't have the answer for everyone. I'm not a professional in either field, but it's just my journey, my experiences. And the title I have, it's still a work in progress, but the title is going to be something along the lines of creating your miracle, the genius is in the end, or something along that lines.
Well, I'm excited to hear that. We'll have to have you on again when you're ready to do that book launch.
Yeah, awesome. Absolutely.
All right. Well, we appreciate you. Thank you so much for sharing. And also, guys, feel free to like and subscribe. We want to make sure that we can get those notifications out there to you, because we want to continue to add value to your life. Once again, Allison, thank you so much for being here today. Really just, it was awesome to spend some time with you. All right. Any final thoughts before I let you off? You're like, oh man, this is something I wish Brigham would ask me this question if you got one.
Yeah, no, I think we've pretty much touched on everything. And like I say, it's all about helping. If there's Canadians wanting to get started in real estate into the US, or if you need connections, if you need to be connected to different people, just reach out. That's what I love doing, is helping.
Well, thanks so much. God bless, guys.